Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Several thousand students are opting not to sit the Leaving Cert exam every single year. This is from the official figures in the Department of Education, which a report shows that in 2016, almost 10,000 students did not take Leaving Cert Irish. And that's out of almost 60,000 Leaving Cert students. So about a sixth, roughly speaking. Some of them had an exemption, but about a third of them didn't. They just didn't turn up to the exam. They just didn't sit it. And we want to know, what does that mean? What does that mean that they would be sort of signed up to do it and they don't turn up? What's kind of going wrong at secondary school level to do with the language? I would love to know what people think about this. And joining me now to discuss it is Padraig Kivony, who is a broadcaster with Radio Na Lifa and a co-founder of the pop-up Gaeltacht and the Green Party's Irish language spokesperson. Padraig, you're very welcome.
Gormila Mogget, it's great to be here.
I think I actually said O'Kivony right today.
Yeah, spot on. I think we're eventually getting there.
You're actually rubbing off on me
osmosis.
In some way. Aren't you? There is something going on.
You'll be fluent by the end of the year if I can get in once a month.
Usually I mangle it. What did you think of these figures? And I know that you kind of roll your eyes about the whole, oh, it's just taught badly and, you know, the kind of things that I say on an ongoing basis. But what is going wrong?
Well, first of all, why are we where we are?
You're
not the worst offender, which is why I love coming in to chat to you. But I think we have to look at this as not the problem, but the symptom. And the fact of the matter is that there are plenty of people getting exemptions. And that's one problem and one thing that needs to be addressed. Why is it there are so many people getting exemptions? Contrary to the reporting today, it's not actually that easy to get an exemption. Even an NUI exemption, which is easier than a departmental exemption, requires a signed certificate by a psychologist to say that you have a learning disability, that you're living with a learning impairment.
Dyslexia, ADHD, those types of things.
And this needs to be signed off by a qualified psychologist. So it's not that easy. So there's a lot of people going through a lot of trouble to get these. And then there's a lot of people basically committing academic self-sabotage and saying, you know what, I don't need to go to certain college courses, or I don't need to go to an NUI college course. I don't need to go to Trinity. I don't need to go to any of the university courses where Irish or a third language is required. So we've people willing to take this chance. And I think it comes from the fact that we are funneling far too many people into this one size fits all education system. And it just doesn't work. There's people being pressured to achieve academically when there may be other options out there for them that they're better suited for. And I think it's great that this gives us an opportunity to look at, just take a step back and look at the education system. Are we forcing too many people to do the Leaving Cert? Are we forcing too many people to do the established Leaving Cert, the LCE, the one that we might know has the, you know, has
the
people wrapped up in
the points
race?
The obvious question is, are we forcing too many people to do Irish?
Well, are we forcing too many people to basically stay in education, in a form of education that doesn't suit them? Now, are we forcing too many people to do Irish? I believe, I'm a believer in compulsory Irish, but one of the things we have to look at is, how is it being examined? What's the end goal here? Because compulsory Irish doesn't achieve what I wanted to achieve if all you get is people learning off essays and trying to, you know, engage in rote learning and vomit it back onto a piece of paper. It's not a system that's fit for purpose, and it's a system that, as we've seen, a sixth of people are just saying, you know what, I couldn't be flipped doing this and I'm gonna opt out.
Is there an Irish word for I couldn't be flipped?
Oh, there's plenty. Not sure I can say them before 9 p.m.
Nobody's going to understand them, Padder, in fairness. I'm only messing. Look, I hear what you're saying, but the logic of what you're saying is maybe we're funneling them in the wrong way and we're funneling them in this way. Maybe we're funneling them into Irish and not everyone wants it. And not everyone, I do, and I know you don't like when I say this, but I did a good Leaving. Mm-hmm. The only past subject I did was Irish.
Yeah.
And I barely scraped through it. And yet I was an A student in other subjects at honours level. So I had the ability, I did French and did well in French. So I had the ability.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't some like predilection on my part that I hated it. In my school, and now I know I'm going back a few years, clearly, and I know Peg and all is gone. So we're not suggesting you're all still doing Peg.
But I'm glad you clarified
that.
So
I know that, but I had Peg. And Peg was, we read Peg in English.
Yeah.
with only a certain number of sentences in it in Irish that you might use for quotes.
Exactly.
It made no bloody sense at all as a learning tool.
But again, this is rote learning. You know what I mean? It is
important. I learned loads of poems. Of and I couldn't say, you know, I need to go to the bank and I need to take money out, or I need to buy a ham sandwich. Yet I was learning poems. Is it not that there's some...
So let's...
We didn't learn French in the same way. We learned French, écoute et répète, and we learned to chat.
Yeah.
And I still have a smattering of French. And I'd like... I'm on the side of... I'd like to have Irish. Listen, and I don't.
There's a couple of things there. First of all, it is important to acknowledge that PEG is no longer on the syllabus. And, the syllabus is even different from when I did it. I did the Leaving Cert 17 years ago, and the syllabus is different now. You know, there's 40% going on an oral exam that is, quite frankly, one of the easiest things in the world to pass. It's ridiculously easy. I think it's overly easy. I think we're throwing marks at people who do Irish. And yet still, we have people not willing to go through that ordeal, not willing to go through the exam. So there's something fundamentally broken with the whole thing. Now, Irish isn't the only subject that people just don't turn up to do the exams, right? There are thousands and thousands of Leaving Cert students who just don't turn up to do certain exams. And it's because we have this system where you're doing seven subjects, we're only going to count the results of six of them, and the end goal is get you into college, get you into college, get
you into college. But you can't get into, as you quite rightly pointed out, half the colleges, and certainly the top tier of colleges, the NUI, the Trinity and all that. You can't get into them without Irish.
Or an exemption, which is what accounts for two-thirds of people.
But like 5% of the people doing the Leaving Cert didn't have an exemption and didn't sit Irish. Exactly. So they just opted out.
So we have an overly stressful system there. We have people who are waiting until the last possible moment and just going, you know what, I'm just not going in. It's too much for me. It's too stressful. And Irish isn't the only subject they're doing it in. It gives us, you know, Irish gives us the opportunity to chat about it, to say about it. At the end of the day, we have far too many people being put into, like, this is a round hole and it fits the round pegs, and that's people like me and it's people like you. I did a good leaving, you did a good leaving, I like that. The Leaving Cert at the time suited me down to the ground. Do no work for 6 years, go in, do the exam, get a half decent Leaving Cert, go to college. That's all I wanted. That's great. That doesn't suit everybody, but there's no focus on apprenticeships. There's no focus. I used to be a secondary school teacher for a couple of years straight after college while I was still, I mean, figuring out what I want to do. I'm 35 this year. I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
You're only a baby. Don't worry about it.
But the Leaving Cert applied has an applied Irish course, which is more based on the practical applications of where you might use Irish, reading signs, reading information on paper, conveying information to people. That's great, but not even every school does the Leaving Cert applied.
I don't agree, for example, with Connor, who has tweeted, and he said it's a dead language. There are more Polish speakers in Ireland now than Irish speakers. I don't want to go there. Even if statistically, if we had tons of polls and they were all speaking Polish, I don't care.
Every other time I come on the show to chat to you, you're talking to me because I'm one of many thousands of people who speak Irish all the time.
And so
I'm not exactly.
And I don't buy that one. But I do buy this one. It says, imagine, Ciara, people learning French and Spanish all the way up and having job opportunities they could avail of. That, you know, they would. And we do have job opportunities that people can avail of through the Irish language, and yet it's not happening on a grand scale. Although, having said that, I mean, I've said this to you before, I think the Gaelscoileann are going to be the actual changing thing that happens, because you have generations of kids who are now bilingual coming out of schools in my town and loads of towns around the country where nobody was before. But shouldn't that have been the way all along? Why isn't, for example, primary school just taught through Irish, and we just have every kid in the country bilingual?
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. We know it's not. And this is the sad fact of the matter. You know, these job opportunities through Irish, every primary school teacher in the country is supposed to be fluent and able to impart that fluency onto a bunch of kids. And the problem is they're not, and there isn't that kind of quality control. There isn't that kind of benchmarking. Nobody wants to address that. That's the big elephant in the room when it comes down to it, how it's taught, not at Leaving Cert level, but at primary school level. Then we have kids coming out of primary school at the age of 12. They're supposed to be fluent. They're supposed to be able to then deal with the more literary aspects of learning a language. So they're supposed to have a command of Irish similar to their command of English by the time they're 13 and they're in first year.
Okay.
We know it's not true.
But you see, that's the key problem, right? And I think you've just named it. Yeah, they're supposed to come out fluent by 12 and then they go in and then they can learn the literature. So that's why we have all this literature landed in on them in first year. Except for they're not fluent by 12. So then it's just total bogus nonsense.
But we don't
fix that. It's an aspiration.
No, you're right.
That doesn't
You're preaching to the converted.
It's not
the thing
true.
Is, we don't fix it at Leaving Cert level. And this is the problem. Every time we come on and we chat about, oh my God, there's so many people exempt. They're walking out on their Leaving Cert exams. They're not doing Leaving Cert
people
Irish.
People are saying
they're complaining Leaving Cert Irish.
There is no exemption for dyspraxia or ADHD. I was pretty sure there was one, at least for ADHD. I don't know about dyspraxia.
No, you can at an NUI level. There's no departmental exemption, but okay. You can get an NUI exemption for any kind of learning difficulty. So, long
so
as
you can
off
get
by
round
this
the,
is why
the
they're
requirement.
Saying it's easier to get an NUI exemption, absolutely. Because the NUI exemption doesn't go into that fine level of detail. Anyway, we talk about like, oh, it's terrible. And we see the symptom arise at Leaving Cert level. And yet nobody wants to go back and address the core problem. It's not that kids can't speak Irish when they're 18. It's that they can't speak it when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
totally
12.
Agree with you.
And that problem is with the primary school teachers.
Can I tell you, can I put it to you that I think some of the problem actually exists with perhaps not you yourself, but with some of the Irish purists. And let me just tell you what I mean. Yeah. I was in Kilthis Kilthorry during the week. It's a fantastic place out in Monkstown, and I'd never been there before. And there's lovely, it's a lovely venue, and there's people staying there, and they're playing Irish music yeah. and talking Irish and everything. And I actually went, God, this is an amazing place. I'd never been here
That's
before.
That's a great venue. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good.
And then I went into, they've kind of a great hall where they can have productions and stages and you know, gigs and everything. And on all the walls, there was these wonderful posters suggest, you know, talking about the Irish culture and language as it has spread through the diaspora and other ways as well around the world. And I sat there, and what struck me was these people are absolutely committed to Irish. Mm-hmm. They're convinced.
They haven't been convicted
not
yet.
Convicted.
They're innocent.
Convinced of the impurity. They're completely
until
innocent. Completely innocent, or whatever that word is in Irish. They're absolutely convinced of the importance and the wonderful heritage. And there was a Bowron class going on next door. That was a bit loud, but there was loads going on. And I thought, this is not the right road. And the reason I thought this was, I thought this is a bubble where people in this room are so committed that they're only loving the poetry and the prose and the Mochanilachs and the, you know, the Drimmindon Dealishes and they love all the literature and everything because they are absolutely immersed in it. Yeah. And it is them who drive the agenda. The agenda should be driven by the likes of me who are half arsed about it. So they're much more in tune with the vast members of the population. And we should actually be making it so democratic, a low bar of everyone talking it, everyone being able to have basic conversations in it and forget all the highfalutin tooting and blowing bagpipes or whatever it is.
The problem is neither of those groups are setting the agenda. I only wish the likes of Cultus Kilt or the Cumann Lucas Gael or Glórne an Gael or Cunann an Gael, I wish they were setting the agenda, but they're not. The fact of the matter is the agenda is being set in this absolutely please nobody halfway house where we're going to have this ridiculous system whereby an exemption is the easiest thing in the world to get. So we're going to admit tacitly that Irish isn't important. We're going to say out loud that it is. And we're going to have absolutely no development on this problem that we keep coming back to, which is why aren't people fluent by the time they're doing the Leaving Cert? I wish Cultus were setting the agenda. I wish you were set. I wish somebody other than a civil servant in a stuffy office in Athlone in the Department of Education and Skills was setting the agenda, because we're getting nowhere.
I agree. And I know I always kind of give you a slightly hard time, but I actually would love to think I had bilingual kids. I think it would be a massive advantage to them. I think it would be great for their history. I think it would be great for their sense of identity. But I also think it would be great for them learning other languages going forward. It's a skill. You know, I'm not against it.
The cognitive benefits,
yeah,
you'll know this as a doctor. Totally. The cognitive benefits are immense. I was recently involved in a study that was showing the benefits for older people who are bilingual, that they have less likelihood. There's a lower prevalence of dementia, particularly
early
onset Alzheimer's.
And that makes sense from a neuroplasticity.
You're using the grey matter, you know.
Yeah, it totally
does. All the signs indicate that learning Irish is a good thing. It creates, if Irish is taught properly to people, if people are learning it, and I'm talking about at primary school level, I'm not talking about the Leaving Cert. The Leaving Cert is a symptom and not the problem in and of itself. We would have more rounded citizens. We would have people with a better idea of their own cultural identity. They would be more open to new experiences. You know, people who are bilingual, you know, the plasticity of the brain reflects itself in just how they're open to new experiences, new people, new cultures, new lives.
You're not wrong. It's brilliant for your brain.
Exactly.
It's a very divisive subject.
It always is.
The text line here says, Irish is a complete waste of time. Was the same in 1977 when I did it. Peg finished me. I know Peg.
Peg's gone.
Do you know Peg?
Can we just let Peg
rest
in peace?
Peg.
The poor woman.
The poor woman crucified the Irish language.
She didn't, unfortunately.
Well, whoever inflicted her, the rest of us did. Chris says,
can I tell you something really interesting about Peg? Peg didn't know how to read and write in Irish. Okay, she didn't know. She could only read and write in English because she was a product of the national school system under British rule. That was the age she was. So Peg's autobiography, Peg, was dictated to her son.
So it was an oral thing.
Well, but the thing is, her son, unfortunately, was he was suffering from depression his entire life. So he ended up giving us the most
dreary, depressing,
groom, just Neil Shea Stumach. It's just really, really.
I'll throw a turnip a luffa at my very best friend caught Jim's head. Yeah, I know it's the worst.
The rest of what Peg has written, I would recommend a little book Peg wrote called An Island Woman Remembers. It's far more exciting and interesting. She was a very, very funny, but she was a prankster. She was.
Yeah, that didn't come across.
No, not in Peg, I'm telling you. Listen. Whoever inflicted Peg on us has a lot to answer for, but it is gone and we need to let the poor woman rest
right.
in peace.
But they did inflict a lot of us and they did at the ruination.
But,
and that's what I'm
but
saying.
But we can't
they
fix that.
No, but don't remake those mistakes.
Exactly.
Don't inflict other crap things on us that we don't want to learn. Make us talk. And people are saying all sorts. Chris says what needs to be addressed is the compulsory nature of Irish. The students are voting with their feet. I don't know that I agree I also don't agree with getting a compulsory history or geography, to be honest.
Exactly. And this is what happens when we get a more utilitarian. When somebody says Irish is a waste of time, it's always about this opportunity cost. What could we be learning instead?
And this people are saying that someone says...
This is what we have here. We have students saying, I'm going to take the time I could be doing the Irish exam to study something else. And the problem is we have a utilitarian approach to education. It's now all about the points. It's not about becoming educated. It's not about getting your rounded education, your schooling. It's about getting the points and getting into college. That doesn't suit everybody. And it doesn't lead to creating more rounded citizens. We need to have a look at the education system and why the Leaving Cert is the be all and end all. The very best education system in the world is the Finnish one. They do 14 subjects for 12 years. They do 3 languages for 12 years. And it's not exam focused. It's all based around getting you comfortable with these subjects and becoming a more rounded, more holistic individual.
Okay. Chris says, somebody else says, can you ask your guest what he thinks of compulsory economics instead? Social and financial economics would educate the voters of tomorrow, which is vital to avoid future Brexit, etc.
In a nutshell, not instead as well.
As well, okay.
I think
someone
it's a
says,
great idea.
Kira, why is your green Gail Gore, I think they mean you, Patter,
that'd be me, yeah,
talking to us in English? Is it because 99% of the people wouldn't know what he was saying in Gaelic? Yes, it is.
Well,
and also, we're an English language station.
Yeah, if anybody wants to hear me in Irish, I'm on Radio Naliff every Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Someone says, I'd love to learn my native language. I'm 46. I kind of would too, although I know I don't have the brain capacity for it. And Ruth says, Kira, this would be a much more beneficial conversation if... Nice one, Ruth. If you were to explain to all of us parents who are not in the know how to get this exemption from Irish. Neil is also on the lines. Pop, you have your headphones on, Patter. Neil, what do you think about all of this?
Hi, Kira. How are you? My kids are in a Gael school.
Good stuff.
It's not because I was any Gael going myself. Going to have a coop of folk, I suppose. But we suppose we'd like them to maybe have their own language as they grow older. But the thing is that they have no hang-ups, really, because they don't know any better or worse. And then, they might be arguing at home and they might be... They argue through Irish unbeknownst to themselves.
How old are they, Neil?
So 6, 9 and 11.
So your 6-year-old, are they fluent in Irish now as a 6-year-old?
The 6-year-old is... Yeah, I think he is. So he can understand everything, and he wouldn't have the vocabulary yet. But
he wouldn't have the vocabulary in English either. In fairness, at six,
no, but would be probably more proficient than I would be in Irish, and it's just lovely to see.
Yeah, just to show you how young they can learn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At 6 years of age, he's practically fluent.
Practically fluent, and it's just lovely to see that. I suppose when it kind of struck me when I was in Austria years and years ago, and I turned around to my girlfriend, my now wife, and just said to her, it's just like being in Germany. And the reason was that everyone was speaking German and they didn't have their own language. And we always kind of get annoyed when people think that we're English when we're in France or Spain. But I suppose the reason is because we're speaking English. So, it would be lovely if it was more, if it was spoken just a little bit more out and about, and you could hear it in the shops and everywhere else.
Yeah, no, fair play, Neil, and a good, I think a good call for your kids, because I think it will only stand to them, and thank you for that. So you are non-Gael Gore yourself, but your kids are now fluent, so thank you. That does show you, Patter, that we can change things.
Oh, we absolutely can. The problem is the policy isn't reflecting this kind of demand. 24% of people would prefer, number one choice, want to put my kids in the Gael school. 8% of all schools are Gael school in this. So it doesn't reflect it. We have about 6 times as much demand than we can satisfy.
Should we be moving? And we can't move immediately because we don't have the staff, we don't have the capabilities within the native language speakers. But in time, as we have more native language speakers, as we will, because this will be an exponential growth from the Gaelscoileanna, should we be turning every primary school in the country into a Gaelscoile? That in time, over the next decade, if you can replace a departing teacher in a national school with an Irish-speaking teacher, do it.
I mean, all primary school teachers, all national school teachers should be fluent in Irish. They have to teach it. So I think, I agree with you, but I don't think...
Do you believe they are?
But I don't think they are at all, no. But here's the thing, I don't think it's a drastic step to implement a policy like that. All you have to do is put in the quality control, put in the benchmarking.
I wouldn't be against
it. When you're examining teachers, when we come back to these exams, and exams are not the be-all and end-all, but if you decide you want to be a primary school teacher, that's what you want to do with your career, you shouldn't be too worried and too upset about having an Irish exam and getting through an inspection at class level and the likes. You should be fluent in Irish. It's not actually a huge ask. You know, I'm functionally innumerate. I'm terrible at maths. I'm not a primary school teacher. That's exactly why, because I just couldn't do it. Numbers make my head hurt. If you can't speak Irish, and nobody wants to say this, and it sounds really, really cruel, don't be a primary school teacher.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I could do far more with maths than I ever could with Irish, so I'd be the other way around. But look, thank you for that. That is Padraig O'Kivony, broadcaster with Radio Na Liffa and co-founder of the pop-up Gael Talk. 53106, what do you think? What's going wrong? Why are kids opting out? What should be done? Should we make every primary school over time in the country a Gaelscoile? What do you think about that? Let me know.